The final chapter in this reading, I'm titling 8 Principles of Parenthood and Character Development. Principle number 1, commitment to the family. President David O. McKay stressed that no other success can compensate for failure in the home. President Harold B. Lee likewise counseled that the most important work we will ever do in this life is in the four walls of our own home. And their successors have all counseled the same thing. This direction and counsel are God-inspired, and every father and mother in Zion needs to awaken to all that is happening around us and to the will of God, which has been so clearly manifested through His servants in meeting the situation. It is a revelation to us today, and we ignore it only at our peril. Therefore, I suggest the first principle on the subject of parenthood and character development is an honest, clear recognition of the transcendent importance of parenthood responsibility and a personal commitment to this vision. The family is the first obligation in the church, and if active church workers will prayerfully and conscientiously organize their affairs, the Lord will give them the power to magnify their callings as fathers or mothers and as church workers. While many of us might give lip service to the importance of parental responsibility, often we will give our prime energy, enthusiasm, time, and loyalty to our professions or occupations, or even to church callings, or to other good and worthy causes. The enemy of the best is often the good. In other words, the enemy of the best, the home and the church, is often other good causes. We often think that the family problem is one of time, that there are only so many hours in the day and so many important things to be done that we simply don't have time to do them all. Though I acknowledge and sympathize with this reasoning, I do not believe that time is the problem. I believe it is the excuse. I think the main problem is twofold. First, a lack of real commitment to the vision behind this emphasis upon the family. And second, the lack of internal discipline to act accordingly. The Lord has told us that He will make our burdens light if we obey true principles, take the time to prayerfully search the Scriptures to maintain the larger, eternal, gospel-centered family vision, and carefully plan and organize our days, and then work our plans. Most of us will literally be amazed, even astounded, at what we are able to do and accomplish. There are specific things parents can do to teach responsibility, respect, virtue, obedience, work, and other gospel principles. But first, they must really commit themselves to parenthood as their highest responsibility, as their highest church job, and must be willing to give their best time, best thinking, highest loyalty, greatest enthusiasm, and strictest dedication to this task. Principle number 2, stewardship. Parents are stewards for the children born into their family. They need to render an honest accounting on this stewardship. Their children are actually begotten children of God, the eternal Father, and are to be raised by His eternal laws and principles. Both the father and the mother have separate stewardships, both of equal importance, either incomplete without the other. They must learn to live and work together under the most holy and strict laws of heaven. Unity, mutual consideration, kindness, cooperation, and harmony. The father, particularly one who holds the Melchizedek priesthood, is to obey God. He needs to use his own priesthood to bless his family in righteousness. He must be careful to avoid the almost universal tendency to exercise unrighteous dominion and to force, coerce, or demand that his wife or children obey him. For if he does not himself obey the Lord and live by true principles, the whole patriarchal concept will be distorted, and the children will grow up in an atmosphere of fear, suspicion, criticism, and inconsistency, and will thereby be encouraged to adopt the value systems of the world. Husbands, what is it that most enthuses you and excites you and taps your deepest loyalties and your best enthusiasms? Whatever it is, in a very real sense, is your God, your object of devotion. If your God is truly the Lord, then you will be magnifying your stewardship, But if your God is your profession, your work, your possessions, your sports interests, your social image and pleasures, your political allegiances, or anything that is created, the whole concept the Lord has given us of the family will be distorted. Your wife and your children will have a difficult time following such an unworthy and inconsistent example. Your wife's sense of personal security will be weakened, and her own ability to give herself properly to the children will be lessened. In a very real sense, you are her mainstay and support in life, and if you are lukewarm or untrue or unworthy, she will be undermined, and in time you will sorrowfully reap the harvest you have sown. The wife is also to obey God and to support her husband in righteousness, which I believe includes her righteousness, for she is not to be his judge. If she attempts to be his judge and to obey whatever suits her fancy, withdrawing her support or obedience when she disagrees, or if she competes with him for leadership and direction, the patriarchal concept will be distorted. The wife is called to love and to sustain the husband, and I believe nothing will do more to encourage and chasten him in his own stewardship than consistent acceptance, unconditional love, and steadfast sustaining. If he is absolutely unworthy or consistently makes unrighteous demands, then she might counsel with the steward over him, the bishop, but she is not to be his judge and punisher. I have come to believe from my own experience, as well as my observation of others, that children tend not to obey their parents when the father does not in truth and in deed obey the Lord, or when the wife does not in truth or in deed obey the Lord and support her husband, and when the parents do not have this vision of the patriarchal family concept and at least a deep commitment to their parental responsibility. Principle number 3, the emotional climate of the home. The most significant aspect or characteristic of a true gospel-oriented home is centered in the emotional climate of the home. You might call it the feeling tone. By far, the most important factor in setting this feeling tone is the depth of harmony and unity between the husband and the wife. President McKay had much to say on this subject. In General Conference on April the 7th, 1963, he said, "Our homes radiate what we are, and that radiation comes from what we say and how we act in the home. No member of this church, husband, father, has the right to utter an oath in his home or ever to express a cross word to his wife or to his children. You cannot do it as a man who holds the priesthood and be true to the Spirit within you by your ordination and your responsibility. You have to contribute to an ideal home by your character, controlling your passion, your temper, guarding your speech, because those things will make your home what it is and what it will radiate, and every Latter-day Saint home should have it." Unquote. Principle number 4, desire and time for husband-wife communication and planning. We can all become so busy following such hectic schedules, tyrannized by the telephone, meeting the small crises, that we may go for days without any deep, meaningful communication with our husbands or wives. There is some communication, but it is often rather superficial and focused upon just the practical necessities of day-to-day life. Every person needs someone else to whom he can speak freely without fear of censor, embarrassment, or ridicule of any kind. People need to feel understood, and that comes from being genuinely listened to. We are told in the Scriptures that the spiritual creation preceded the temporal creation, and that the spiritual thought or ideal is to underlie all temporal concerns and actions. This points up the need for the husband and wife to sit down together and to carefully plan, or in a sense, spiritually create their own world. Planning isn't easy. It requires thinking, and many of us are often too lazy to do any creative thinking and planning. Yet planning is of overwhelming significance in any endeavor of life, and certainly it must be in the most important endeavor, that of successfully raising a family. It must play a vital, central role. President Lee taught that planning is one of the most important divine attributes of all mortality. If parents have difficulty finding the time in the natural course of events for deep, meaningful communication and creative planning together that involves the Lord, who is the other member of this eternal partnership, they should determine to set aside specific times and to hold them inviolate. Parenthood is our highest responsibility. Why shouldn't other things go by the board if necessary in order to maintain deep, meaningful, two-way rapport and understanding and to reap the incalculable benefits of careful, creative planning?